quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You're tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Ketse, Kwikwetlem, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. And here at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie, and today's episode of Typically Tuesdays is one that I didn't think that I would make, mainly because 2 months ago, even 1 month ago, I would not have considered doing an episode of Typically Tuesdays about this specific topic, but times change, and I am the person who's existing in front of you on your radio right now. I'm going to be talking about Wicked, the movie musical that recently came out in November 2024, and everybody was talking about it at the time. I didn't want to. I didn't think that I had anything to say about it. But then as I finished watching the movie a few weeks ago, and I realized that I wanted to say something about the discussions around Wicked, the movie musical. Wicked, the movie musical, of course, is the film adaptation of the popular Broadway musical called Wicked. That stage play in itself was an adaptation of a novel by Gregory Maguire, an American writer, and his book called Wicked, The Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West. That book was based on the stories of Frank L. Baum, the person who wrote the Wizard of Oz series. Oh my god, what a mouthful. But what you need to know right now is, before I get super into it, one, you should Google what Wicked is all about if you have not known yet. Two, you need to know that the main characters, one of them is Elphaba, who is the Wicked Witch of the West. Think back to the Wizard of Oz movie in Technicolor. Her main character design, I guess, color scheme is green and black. And then the other protagonist is Glinda, the good witch of the whatever direction she's from, and her main character design color scheme is pink. And that is also the playlist of today. Green and black, mostly green, and pink. So enjoy as we get right into it, and I ask for a little bit of help from my good friend Kermit. Laying it on thick here on Typically Tuesdays, 90.1 FM, CJSF.
Greetings, Kermit the Frog here, and today I'd like to tell you a little bit about the color green. Do you know what's green? Well, I am, for one thing. You see, frogs are green, and I'm a frog, and that means I'm green, you see? It's not that easy being green, to spend each day the color of the leaves, when I think it could be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that. It's not easy being green. It seems you blend in with so many other ordinary things, and people tend to pass you over 'cause you're not standing out like flashy sparkles in the water. or stars in the sky. But green's the color of spring, and green can be cool and friendly like, and green can be big like an ocean, or important like a mountain, or tall like a tree. When green is all there is to be, it could make you wonder why. But why wonder, why wonder? I am green, and it'll do fine. It's beautiful, and I think it's what I wanna be.
By Goldie Boutillier here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. I'm talking about Wicked I didn't realize that I would come to this point in my life. Partly because I wasn't sure if I would want to watch Wicked in its movie musical form. I am one of those people. Let me reveal a little bit about my personal life. I am a gay millennial who grew up watching Glee. Naturally, there is something in my tender heart that thinks of Wicked fondly in some way. However, I didn't know that I would want to watch like the movie musical version of the story, because there's something about movie musicals sometimes that I feel like takes me out of like the fantasy of like the actual musical. And I think I just like enjoy the theatrics of an actual musical much more. But not only was everybody, most of the people who I knew, watching it and telling me how much they loved it, but also like the memes came, and I kind of got my life at the Cynthia Erivo Defying Gravity final riff of the song meme, and I really also got my life at the Holding Space for Defying Gravity meme. That was so good. So I did end up watching it largely for the music. During the time when I was trying to figure out if I wanted to watch the music, the movie, there was a lot of discussion that was popping up about the depiction of Oz, this place, and its politics, and a lot of discussions around good and evil, right? Wicked, if you are not familiar, is a musical based off of American author Gregory Maguire's novel called Wicked, Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West. That novel is kind of like a retconned published fan fiction retelling of the Wizard of Oz series by Frank L. Baum. And Wicked, which I'll shorten it to Wicked, the novel, questions how we as people in society come to the conclusion that a person can be evil. And he complicates that idea about good versus evil in the story of the Wizard of Oz by telling the life story, his own life, like, not his, telling his own fan fictional life story about Elphaba, who is the name that he gives the Wicked Witch of the West. In Wicked, Gregory Maguire tells the story of the Wicked Witch of the West and her friendship with Glinda, the Good Witch. They are rivals turned besties in college, and while Glinda is the respectable social climber, Elphaba has long been ostracized, largely because of her green skin. She's not necessarily a racialized person in this story. In the story of Oz, the racialized people, the racialized members of society, are actually animals who talk. Human animals, I guess, are not necessarily racialized people, but they do appear in all sorts of like phenotypes and racializations. And it just so happens also that Elphaba's skin is green, but her green skin is not a part of her racialization, if that makes any sense. Her green skin is just something about her that she is ostracized for, even though it has nothing to do with race technically in the story. And it is partly due to this ostracization that she's experienced her entire life, she finds solidarity with the oppressed group of members of society who are the talking animals of Oz. When she realizes that they are being persecuted and oppressed, she shows up in solidarity with them, and she uses her powers and privilege and her innate ability to use magic to advocate for the animals. When it becomes clear to the state that that is how Elphaba is going to use her abilities as a means to resist against the persecution of these marginalized people, she becomes an enemy of the state. The Oz version of the National Guard comes out and they're all trying to pursue her, and the propaganda of the state is all about framing Elphaba as essentially this like violent terrorist. And Glinda, who is Elphaba's bestie, unable to stop Elphaba from being so outspoken and defiant of the social hierarchy, gives up and essentially steps into the role of being a total bootlicker. She begins to work for the state, even though this is the power that is not only persecuting and oppressing the animals, but it is also the power that now wants her best friend's head on a stake. This is where the movie musical ends off. The novel and the stage musical, it keeps going on, and there's a lot more that comes after this. But that's supposed to be in a part two for the movie series. And we end part one with the iconic Broadway song, one of the best quote-unquote I Want songs in musical history, which is Defying Gravity. The song is one about resistance. It's about Elphaba realizing her true potential and how she is actually truly so powerful that she is going to use it in the ways that she thinks is just and right, and nobody can stop her. She accepts being the bad person, leans into the idea that she is unwanted by the wider mainstream society, and that is her like anthem of defiance. Now, Wicked the Musical has been out for more than 20 years, and lots of people have long resonated with the story, Elphaba, and particularly with the lyrics of Defying Gravity. But I think what's really interesting about the current buzz around this movie, and specifically about this song, is that it came pretty soon after the American federal election. And even in the way that I've described the plot of the story to you and the main conflict, perhaps you can see there are some interesting parallels and allegories to much of society with regards to state violence and also propaganda. And I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that right after this music break. Again, as I mentioned, we are doing like the Green Lady and Pink Lady playlist. This song reminds me of the color green. Maybe it will for you too. Here's Wound Up Tight by Tallies here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Yeah.
This is Bird Note. Each season ushers in its own bounty of bird life. Winter is the best season to highlight North America's feathered thunderbolts, the falcons. Northern nesting species of falcons, like this peregrine we're hearing, move southward, closer to their many admiring observers. Hurtling through the air on blade-like wings, falcons rank among the fastest of all birds and the most adept at capturing prey in flight. One falcon much more prevalent across the U.S. in winter is the merlin. 10 inches tall with a 2-foot wingspan, the merlin chases down small birds from sparrows to sandpipers. Small but powerful, the fearless merlin will buzz even a huge eagle that enters its airspace. The majestic gyrfalcon drifts south in winter to the northern tier of states. Larger than a red-tailed hawk, in a direct sprint, the gyrfalcon can overtake even the fastest duck. The mid-sized peregrine falcon nests in some locales across the country, but its numbers are greatest in winter, especially near the coasts. During its dive on a hapless pigeon or dunlin, a peregrine may reach an airspeed approaching 200 miles an hour. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. That was Crush XOX by Tall Tale. My name is Leslie, and hopefully that song evoked the color pink to you, because we're doing a playlist about the Green Lady and the Pink Lady, because I'm talking about Wicked. Get into it. Get into the program. Wicked, the movie musical, I think really struck a chord in a lot of Americans, because they saw the way that the world, the society, Oz, persecuted people who are oppressed, and also persecuted those who dare to resist against the mandated social hierarchy and resist against state violence. And they began to draw a lot of parallels between the prospective 4 years of their lives as American people living under a second Trump presidency. Some people also looked to the results of exit polls from the federal election and saw parallels between Glinda and, you know, I'll say it, like conservative white women, essentially, who voted for Republicans, feeling that, you know, it's a huge slap in the face and all that. Anyways, people were drawing a lot of parallels between, like, many things that were happening in Wicked and also in U.S. federal politics. And a lot of discussion was happening because of it. I had listened to some really interesting thoughts by some cultural critics, but one of the things I think stood out for me was this comment that not a cultural critic made, but actually Bob the drag queen, who is a celebrity in himself, a popular drag performer, was saying. He was holding space for Defying Gravity, the song, analyzing its lyrics and on a live stream, and had mentioned this point that I could not stop thinking about, which was that everyone wants to be Elphaba. Everyone wants to think that they are the type of person who would defy tyranny and stand on the ground of their ethics and act in a moral way. But most people, in fact, are Glinda, who perhaps would cower at the idea of being defiant or even not think too importantly about how they may become instruments of violence. How many people actually would rather